Today I want to talk to you a little bit about a merry heart being good like a medicine. We've been on the topic of joy for a while, but I have a bunch of scriptures, and then I want to get to my scripture text, which is Proverbs 17. What do you have up there? Let's see what you have up there, Mr. J. You have Proverbs 17, 22? Is that what you have? Okay, let's read that, and then I'm going to read a whole bunch, because I remember a mentor, leader, friend of mine told me one day, hey, young preacher, read a lot of scripture. That might be all they get out of your sermon. So we're going to give you a lot of scripture today. Max, you plan on getting something out of this today? I know you do. So let's look at it. Say it with me. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Dries up the bones. Oh, dried up, disintegrated bones. Comes from a broken spirit. And you've heard of the term, the joy of the Lord. Today I reversed it and said, if you're going to get real joy, you have to get the Lord of the joy. The joy of the Lord comes from the Lord of the joy. Amen? And so we often are always seeking the byproduct when we ought to seek the product. We ought to seek the Lord, and how many know the rest of it should come? And seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things, the byproducts, they will come. If you have Jesus, how many know you have the love of God in you? And the love of God would produce peace, joy, love, and all of those things, patience, all of the things we need to get by. Not only do we need them personally, how many know they need it publicly? Not only do you need the joy of the Lord to get through your trial and to have victory in your own personal life, they need to see the church have the joy of the Lord. So let's just a little practice. Turn to your neighbor and smile. Turn to the other side. Smile back. Just get a little joy. I'm not talking about fake. I want real. I want the real deal. See, now you got it. Now you got it. So somebody said it this way. They said, between optimism and pessimism, the difference is droll. The optimist sees the donut and the pessimist sees the hole. So we're not just looking at that. It's been well said that the optimist is the person who invented the airplane and the pessimist is the person who invented the parachute. But don't you know we need both? So Pastor Ron not here today talking about optimism, a personality trait, or pessimism. I want to talk about real Bible truth. And the real Bible truth is that there is a balance in life, and life is not a bowl of cherries. Doesn't mean I'm a pessimist. I mean, no, life is not a bowl of cherries. That is facts. Some days you have hard days. Sometimes life brings some pain and heartache. And then the positive aspect of life is good too, but there's the truth that there are pits in those cherries, and we need optimism and pessimism. But what we really need is biblical realism. We need to be real. And I think this generation is growing up in church, and they really want to see some people who are genuine, who are real, who know how to go through something. Anybody here ever been through something? Let me see your hand. You've been through it. Say, God has brought me through. How many there right now believe in God to bring you through? So the joy of the Lord comes from the Lord of the joy. And I have a few more scriptures I would like to read. I don't know if Justin can have them, but you got my main text there. But look at Proverbs is filled with verses that make up this truth. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, makes him stoop, it says in one version. But a kind word brings him up, lifts him up, cheers him up. And I'm not here as a cheerleader today. I'm here as your pastor. I'm not here to just temporarily move your emotions. I'm here to give you truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's mostly observation here in this scripture, but kind words do cheer up discouraged people. I mean, you can have 10 people give you discouraging words, but one kind word, how many know it'll turn the day around? It'll turn the day around. And so another verse in Proverbs 14:10, each heart knows its own bitterness and no one else can share its joy. So the first part of that thing is certainly true. There are those who have secret sorrows. Some people came in today with secret pain. And it's so painful that you don't want everybody to know. It's It's deep, deep sorrow. And those who look good on the outside, well-dressed, a smile on their face, but behind the smile, there's a story of sorrow and heartache that nobody can even share. If they shared, you wouldn't believe it. So another verse, 14:13, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. Do you see that vacillating between joy and sorrow? Somebody told me one time, have you ever been on the train tracks and you're looking down the train tracks and hopefully not at a headlights of a train, right? That's a train wreck for sure. But if you stand, because we used to live by the train tracks and they had railroad, there's two rails to every track. Is anybody with me this morning? There's two rails to every track. One is joy and the other is sorrow. That's just life. But if you notice, that's at the moment, you can see two rails. But if you look to the horizon, how many know what you see? The further you look, it looks like the rails are one. Joy and sorrow. How many know there's coming a day? I said, how many know that there comes a day where joy and sorrow are going to come together and we're going to forever be with the Lord? And what I call that an eternal perspective. You got to get a long-term vision, not a right now in your problem situation. That's where people lose heart. So it's certainly true. How true is it that even though when we're laughing and putting on a smile for the crowd, even when you're going through the motions trying to be positive on the inside, there may be heartache and discouragement and despair. But just because somebody doesn't see you smiling doesn't mean everything. They see you smiling doesn't mean everything's okay. For some of you this morning, everything's not okay. It's not okay. But you're in the right place. Amen. There's something you should know if you're in a very dark place, and that is that our God is the light of the world. Joy to the Lord. I said joy to the world. The Lord has come. It's past tense, and it's about to be future tense. I said he has come, he is here, and he is coming. That wherever your trouble is, that's where the Lord is in the middle of it. There is Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. It rots the bones. So there is attitudes of the heart. And the heart is a very, very center of your emotions. It plays a key role. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're going through internally will sometimes come out of your mouth verbally. And so you have the option today to have a heart of joy. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but a heartache crushes the spirit, Proverbs 15:13. Let me read that one again, because a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but a heartache crushes the spirit. So there's something different between a broken heart and a crushed spirit. From time to time, we all get a broken heart. But we have the Lord. How many are glad we have the Lord? The Lord of the joy comes in and heals our broken heart. But it has to be reciprocal. We have to let the Lord heal us. But when the Bible talks about a crushed spirit, it's talking about people who get to the point in their trial or their trouble where they actually refuse to be comforted. So disheartened, so deep in their problem that they can't receive a healing from the Lord. It rots their bones. Some people get so out of shape, and all the days are oppressed of the oppressed are wretched. But the cheerful heart, the Bible says, has a continual feast. So did you know that you can have a broken heart and even a wounded heart, but you can still have the joy of the Lord? So that's our topic, and I want to break it down for us, because I know that at the end of this message, we're going to have people in the altars who are going to go after God, because maybe today's not a good day for you. Maybe the Lord needs to restore something. Maybe the Lord needs to heal something. But a merry heart makes cheerful countenance or face. But sorrow of the heart is the spirit. The spirit is broken. I love a young boy was driving in his hay rack down the road when the wagon fell over in front of the farmer's house. The farmer came out and saw the boy crying and said, "Son, don't worry about this. We can fix it. I mean, everything's fixable." And the farmer, the boy was crying. He said, "But right now, Mama's cooking some breakfast, and you just need to come on in." He said, "Oh, thank you, Mr. Farmer, but I can't come." He said, "I can't. My father's going to be very angry with me." The farmer said, "Nonsense, boy, don't worry. Come on in and have some food with us and you'll feel better." And the boy said, but sir, I'm afraid my father's going to be angry with me." And the farmer and the boy, he grabbed him and they walked on into the house and ate. Afterwards, they walked outside to the hay rack. And the father, he said, my father is going to be so angry with me. Thank you for feeding me. And the farmer said, "Nonsense. Where is your father anyway?" He said, "He's under the wagon. He's under the wagon." Hey, sometimes miserable burden of the soul, man. Heaviness of the heart of man weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad, lifts him up. How many know we need to go for a joy ride? We need to get in the Lord's house. We need to get in the Lord's people. Get in the presence of the Lord. I mean, imagine walking down the road with a heavy backpack and somebody pulls over to give you a ride. You hop in, but you leave the backpack on. I mean, number one, it's an insult to the person that gave you the ride to relieve the burden from your back. And secondly, it's not a blessing that it intended to be. You can insult the driver. I mean, no, Jesus comes to take your burden away. He comes to take your burden away. No use in leaving that. You know, you bring your burdens to the Lord. Some of you hopped into the Lord's salvation truck but insult the Lord because you don't give it over to Him. Does anybody know the Lord can heal anything? I don't know what you came with today. Maybe guilt over something, maybe something from the past, but how many believe God can forgive and help you forget? And you have to receive that. It's reciprocal. You have to get in and let the Lord heal you. It's a burden of worry, maybe anxiety for the future. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Heavy burdens weigh people down. You know, we've been in ministry a long time and saw lots of grief. And I've been to funerals that I wish we can undo some of the things that happened in people's lives. Been to the bedside of many people in the hospital, and life happens and death happens. And it's just grievous, especially if there's babies involved and little babies. And I remember somebody in our first church, I was just 28 years old. I didn't know what to do. I still don't know what to do when there's heartache so heavy that you just, as a pastor, you feel helpless, you know. But they had a swimming pool in their backyard, and a four-year-old fell in the swimming pool and drowned. A four-year-old little boy. And I did the funeral. And without any words, without knowing what to say, Mama wanted to climb inside the casket. You understand? You got to pull her off the casket. And you know, that's where real, how many know that's real? And it happens to good people. I said, bad things happen to God's people. And if you're not careful to let the Lord heal you of that grief or that problem or that turmoil, you can get to a place where your heart begins to be hardened. And then all of a sudden now, you go from a broken heart to a crushed spirit. That is a gradual place you can get to where your bones begin to ache. And now you're making your body sick. Does anybody here believe there's a direct correlation between what's going on in your heart and what's happening in your body? Well, you better believe it. I just read it to you. It can happen. It can happen. And so Proverbs is telling us that you can live with a broken heart. It's very difficult, but you can. But if you have a broken spirit, if your spirit is crushed, you're in big trouble. It means your heart is crushed by affliction of some kind. Now listen, there's all kinds of afflictions, but you refuse to be comforted. So whether you caused it by your own foolish ways, how many ever got in trouble and it was your fault? Come on now, be true. How many times? So it was, you know, you did some foolish things and you got in trouble, but the Lord can heal foolish mistakes. He can forgive. He can help you. But there's also affliction that's caused by somebody else, what somebody else did to you. Good, bad, or ugly. And sometimes it's neither. Sometimes a tornado tears your house apart. And you're left how about the city of Paradise, California? There's just ashes. There's not even ashes, just dust. Nothing left. The structure of the whole city is gone. Blew up everything. Burned. Not of any reason of yours or mine, just happened. And so the Lord, it rains on the just and the unjust. So in fact, and you begin to give up hope and you refuse to live. But I'm thankful Jesus is a friend of a wounded heart. I came to tell you, you can receive a healing today. A few weeks ago, we had a tongue and interpretation at the church here. And the interpretation was, if you will speak life to someone else, healing will come to you. I just can't get that out of my spirit. The Lord spoke to our body and said, hey, Oak Grove, if you will speak out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So as we speak life to other people's situation, healing could come to us. Your attitude will determine your altitude. How high you go, how fast you get out of your problem is determined by how well you're willing to be healed. Otherwise, it buries the body. Only the Lord can heal the spirit. And you need to allow him to do so. So the soul affects the spirit affects the body, and it's not about hardening the arteries, it's about hardening the attitude. Your heart becomes hardened. You don't want nobody to talk to you. You don't want to be around anybody. How many know the devil lies to you? You start isolating yourself, going further and further back, and I don't want to be at church. I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to be family. I don't want to have friends. Nobody call me. I'm not going to be on Facebook. I'm not going to be on any book. I mean, no, you get rid of the holy book, you're really in trouble. Well, the word of the Lord is the only thing we have, amen? So you know to get the point. A heavy heart takes its toll on the human body, and the heavy heart is healed, is headed for an early grave, basically. It's bad. It's a heavy heart. And God has given us the elixir. God has given us the fixer. Is anybody glad for the Holy Ghost? We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God who comes in and comforts our hearts. And when we get to the place where we don't even have a conversation, we don't even know how to articulate in words what we want to say to God because our heart is so broken, God can come in and the Holy Spirit can pray through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Is anybody thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? I'll tell you, that's how I've come through. And that's how you could come through. And I wish more churches gave more people opportunity to pray through in the altars. As long as we're pastoring Oak Grove, there will always be an altar. You may not have the wooden bench, but there's always a place for you to bring your burdens to the Lord. And you don't even have to be in church. I mean, you can do that at your bedside. The Lord can stop a tear at 3 a.m. and nobody else is around. But the heavy heart, if you're not careful, it will get you. It will get you. The Holy Spirit produces supernatural joy. So I want us to model the merry heart. There's a generation of people coming behind you. They're watching you. I said, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. They're watching how you handle adverse situations. Do you freak out? Do you, you know, everything's panic? Is everything, you know, nobody's going to make it? Are you, you know, a pessimist by nature? Is it going to be really bad? Are you going to harden your heart and not let anybody in? Or are you going to open your heart and let the Lord in? So somebody's watching you, and they should see us laughing and having a good time. They should see us crying and hurting, and yet hold up the Lord and ask the Lord of the joy to help us heal. They see plenty of other victim mentalities in this world. There's a lot of people in the world that have a victim mentality. It's always hopeless. You're never going to get a healing. They never come out of a jam. How many know that's a lie? The Lord can give you the victory. The Lord can give you the victory. And so the Lord wants to help. But if we have this crushed spirit, a mentality of victimization, we love attention. We get attention from rehearsing our pain. We tell everybody our pain. And the world needs us to model real healing, healthy, medicinal joy of the Lord. This joy is not from the world. This is not fabricated joy. It's not even temporary joy. How many know this is continual joy? Feasting in the presence of the Lord, even when things are going bad. So we have a lot of fun at Oak Grove, and sometimes borderline too much fun. And once in a while, there's criticism from a grouch or two about how much fun we're having in the service, but they're not here today. But for each one of those complaints, there's about 10 people who say, I'm glad my kids can go to a church where there's fun and there's joy of the Lord in serving the Lord. Joy and serving of the Lord ought to go hand in hand. How are you going to have praise in the house if you always have a problem on your lips? So we're not in denial. It's not like we don't have problems, but it's how we respond to our problems. You know, this week, as it's been flipping and flopping, and we're in the church, we're not in the church, I just go to prayer closet and think, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to be. But wherever I finally end up, will you just please join us? I don't know if you've ever been in the pit. Anybody ever been in a pit? Can I just help you with a bigger picture mentality, a long-range eternal perspective? The pit is called the place or the people in training. Sometimes a pit in your life is people in training. God may be wanting to get something in you, in your spirit. He wants to maybe fiery trial, maybe can renew and restore and refine you, refire you, help you to be more purposeful, right? So the world tries to find joy in all kinds of other ways, but the merry heart is not just silliness and laughter. Are y'all with me? And so it's a deep sense of abiding joy that's far better than temporary fix of a good laugh. And the world's trying to find that through drugs and alcohol and party spirit and marijuana. You can legalize it, but how many know marijuana ain't going to make you happy? Not even for medicinal purposes. I've got a better prescription than marijuana. I've got the joy of the Lord. Down in my heart. Don't make me break out in a children's song. I feel it, though. I feel it coming on me. Amen. But you know, all that alcohol, you know, I've been there. I was 18, party spirit. I just thought the world was having a good time and I wasn't going to miss the train ride. But I found it to be very empty, very void. And down the road, it just doesn't leave anything. Just a little temporary satisfaction. How many know there's not real satisfaction? I'm talking about soul satisfaction. It only comes from the Lord. Amen? And discontentment. So first there's dissatisfaction, then there's disappointment, and then there's discontentment. How many know you start getting to that level, it's a degradation is happening. You're going down. It's a spiral. Down, down, down. In fact, you start getting discouraged and depressed and then destroyed. The devil's not happy that you're having a bad day. How many know he wants you to have a bad life? And the Lord says, I come to give you life and a life abundantly. I come to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. What he's saying is, I'm going to get glory out of your life, even in the mess you're in. And so even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. And the joy may end in grief. And Job, you know, we talked about Job a few weeks ago. He ends up saying, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David said it like this. He got older. And the psalmist David said, I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. God will see us through. So godly joy goes to the core. The seed of the joy of the Lord is your heart. It springs from a merry heart. The abundance of the heart comes to mouth. And it's as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So a man thinks it is at heart, and he acts it out in his life, and he speaks it out with his mouth. So your attitude means something. It's an attitude. The seed of joy is not the bank account or your friends or your toys. I mean, you can't get this with money or friends or influence or power or position. Politician can't give you this. You can only get this from the Lord of the joy. And so real joy is apart from any of these things. And it can be lost. Real joy doesn't start outside and work its way in. It's just the opposite. It starts on the inside, works its way out. I love the old song we used to sing. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. You know that? How many know it? Let me see your hand. Three people. God bless you. I'm older than I thought. I'd love to teach it to you, but I don't have time. That's all. The seed of joy is your heart. The source of the joy is the Lord, right? Proverbs 16:20, the one who trusts in the Lord, happy is he. See, Satan puts us in a dark place and tells you the Lord's not going to help you. There is no way out of this problem. And then you start giving up hope. Where was Paul when he wrote this? Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. In a dungeon. If Paul can write that in a dungeon, right? And the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus said the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, right? Joy in the cross. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? But it's not. It is a supernatural way to live your life. Reader's Digest, I don't know if you read that, and I don't always read it, but I found this. I thought it was interesting. They say in order to have joy, you need three things. Three things. If you're taking notes, just real quick. You need, number one, somebody to love. Reader's Digest. They're smart, you know. They're about as smart as Dear Abby. I don't know if Abby went to Jesus, but she has smart things to say. Someone to love. Number two, you need something meaningful to do. And number three, something to look forward to. Some of my struggling days in ministry when it was hard and you need a mentor, you need a pastor, I called my pastor. How many glad you got a pastor? Now, I'm not talking about a preacher. How many glad you got a pastor? Oh, big difference. Big difference. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Talk to you after service. No. Jesus provides all three things. He gives you the love, supernatural love. Amen? Supernatural love. And then he gives you something meaningful to do, a passion, a purpose in your life, right? And then he gives you something to look forward to. And I call my pastor in struggling days, and I'd say, Pastor, it's no good. These people don't want me. They don't love me. I think I'm going to eat some worms and, you know, all of that. And he was so kind and patient. He's just awesome man of God, Bobby Wilson. And he said, after I just rant, anybody rant? Anybody complain? Just this side? Only this side. Let me talk to y'all then. Because I can relate to y'all. I've been there. Bobby said two things, and you heard me say it 1,000 times. He said, stay excited about your future. When he first said that, it made me mad. I was like, I'm not excited about my future. I guess you don't even know where I am. If I was excited about my future, I wouldn't be calling you. My future looks bleak. It's over, Rover. But the fat lady hadn't sang yet. Come on now. It ain't over. Y'all looking at me. Y'all offended because of the fat lady. I was just saying. You offended about that? Then how many know it's not over till Jesus says it's over? It's two things he said. Two things. Stay excited about your future because your future is not determined by your past. Is anybody glad for the grace of Almighty God? And then he said, don't let anything or anybody disturb your spirit. Don't let anybody disturb your spirit. So what happened was I started to realize, Pastor Larry, that I have a responsibility. It's a personal responsibility that you could try to offend me, but I'm not yet offended until I let you. I'm not offended until I let you offend me. You can go out and offend everybody, but until I receive the offense, I'm not offended. People say, oh, I didn't mean to offend you. I said, you didn't offend me. You offended who you thought I was. Come on, somebody ought to praise the Lord for this. This is serious business. You want to get an attitude of gratitude and stay happy in the Lord? I mean, you got to stop letting everybody order your world. You don't get, Melissa was saying it to the ladies yesterday morning. You don't get happy because you're married or not married, or you don't get happy because you got a new job or an old job. A promotion? How many know a promotion is not always a blessing? I've had churches, bigger churches call me. I said, thank you, but no thank you. More people? There you go. You pastored that church too, didn't you? So I was just saying, we have to love somebody. We have to receive love from somebody, and his name is Jesus. And he will never change his mind about you. And he will never change what he feels about you. It doesn't matter if things are going good or things are going bad. How many know he still loves you? He loves you. And we have something to do with eternal importance. We're giving the gospel, the good news of great joy shall be for all people. It's Christmas time. Can you imagine a depressed church at Christmas time? Come to the Christmas celebration. We're all sad. As a pastor, I feel like I wish I had a wind-up toy to put on. Just so the world can make you look happy. And we're talking about something much better than induced laughter. We're talking about the joy of the Lord. And it's strength. It's the strength of the Lord. It's medicinal. Your bones, you could start get healing in your body. I've talked to nurses and doctors. I've talked to a lot of people to confirm this past week, and they all say, oh, yeah. Yeah, and the clients and the patients that are Christian, we see a major difference. The attitude of your heart will change the healing of your body. I'm telling you what they say. And so the stability of joy is continuous. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. So there are people who think they're happy, but they're miserable. And the party and the feast is over. Listen, don't think that the world's got it made in the shade. How many know it's going to all come to an end? At least here. But they will eternally think they'll have a feast with the Lord, but he won't be there. How many know your sins will find you out? Yeah, and listen, you smoke and party and all that, and all of a sudden you think you're going, and all of a sudden the doctor calls you, you have no liver left, your lungs are gone, you got a hole. How many know those commercials where you go ahead and smoke your little slim, go ahead and look at everything on the commercial as it's all beautiful, and Jack Daniels had a pretty little commercial. How many know your liver will be eaten up? You reap what you sow. We don't even have to take the moral part, the spiritual part. Take it out. Go ahead and do that and see what happens to your body. But I'm glad I have the Lord. Boy, when your whole spirit, mind, soul, and body comes together and starts getting in unity, how many know everything's good? And even when things go bad, it's still good because all things work together for the good. To who? To those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. They have something to do. They have something to look forward to. I'm not letting the devil steal my joy this holiday season. I'm going to go into Christmas. I don't care if we get lights in the sanctuary or not. I'll make my own light. Just put it over my head and have a good time. It's continual. John 16:22. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And your joy no man takes from you. It's a continual feast. The joy that I'm talking about doesn't end after Christmas is over. In fact, if you take Christ out of Christian, all you have left is I-A-N. Ian. Which stands for I am nothing. Without Christ, you are nothing. I mean, I'm just telling you that the water, the value of the water inside of you is worth about 2 nickels. You're worth nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're worth nothing. You're worth nothing. Without Jesus, you're just flesh and blood. You're just flesh and blood. But with Jesus, how many know you're worth everything? So I wanted to put that in your spirit, because if you see them out there, they have value to the Lord. In our culture, there's no value for life. But Jesus died for every single one of them. Christmas is more than just some holiday. How many know it's a holy day? Jesus came into the world, amen? And so if your joy is in things and things go bad, your joy is gone. If your joy is in another person, when they take that person from you, then your joy is gone. Your joy can't be in people and things and stuff, because they'll never take Jesus away. Amen. If your joy is in riches, they will take the wings and fly away. Don't tell me money doesn't talk. Mine does. He says, bye-bye. So the ministry of a healthy heart. The point is that God promised lasting joy if we'll cling to it, receive it. Why? It is so we'll appear, not just appear, but be happier on the earth. Not only that, but it's so we can have more energy to serve the Lord and fight the devil. But it's not only that. It is so we will follow the true fulfillment and bring glory to the Lord. Good tidings of great joy shall be to all people. And we shall give this good news to everybody. There's enjoyment and fulfillment in that. And the world didn't give it to me, and they can't take it away. And so a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. The word countenance is face. A face. And so if you're saved, make sure you notify your face. And the world, this is just the question I have as we close. Does the world want what you've got? I mean, have you lived in such a way, your face, does the world say, boy, I don't know what Joe has and Sally has, but whenever they're going through this trial, it seems like the joy of the Lord is just sustaining them continually. And so it's contagious. Amen? And the joy is to be shared. Kohl's has a commercial. How many shop at Kohl's? I don't, but I go with my wife and she does. And they have Kohl's Cash and their commercial. I see it all the time. There's Kohl's. So give joy, get joy. That's their little slogan right now. Give joy. Y'all don't watch Kohl's commercials. That's what it's saying. Give joy, get joy. I'm thinking, I wonder if Kohl's is ready to give me some joy. I'd like some Kohl's Cash. If you have some, just bring it on up. I'll take it right now. But I thought about that little slogan, give joy, get joy. If I want joy. Now listen, some of you might be saying, I could use some joy today, Pastor. I could use some joy. The Lord says, sow joy, reap joy. Well, so now you have the responsibility not only of receiving, but also of giving. And so do you have the joy of the Lord? If I had a cure for cancer, don't you think I would share it with the world? I mean, if I had the answer to the world's problem, don't you think we should share? And we do. How many know his name is Jesus? The joy of the Lord. You need to receive the joy of the Lord. So it's just some things to remember. Chrissy and them are coming back. And let me summarize this. Listen, so you're going to face some things that you can't understand. You will. But the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So we experience joy in the midst of a broken life, fallen, sinful world. And how many would like to experience the fruit of joy in your life? Then take out your pen and paper, write these four things down. Four things real quick. Number one, knowledge of God's word produces joy. I'm going to give you something to go home with. Knowledge of the word of God will produce joy. Ignorant of the word of God, you don't even know how to receive it. Knowledge of the word of God produces joy. Number two, worshiping God evokes joy. Something happens in the atmosphere when you begin to. We're going to worship the Lord in just a few minutes, and some of you are going to come and receive from the Lord. It's only 15. It's only 10 after 11. My Lord, you ought to be getting happy by now. I'll let you out early. Merry Christmas to you. Worshiping God evokes joy. It turns something on in the heavens. It just kind of atmosphere changes things. Amen. And praise changes the atmospheres. Number three, obedience discovers joy. It's you continue to be obedient. How many know Satan can't stand that? You keep going to church. You keep reading your Bible. You keep praying. You keep seeking God. You keep honoring the Lord with your presence at the house of the Lord. How many know the devil will get mad because you will discourage the devil instead of the devil discouraging you? Obedience discovers real joy. And then finally, Christian service promotes and develops joy. If you really want the joy of the Lord, you got to get involved with what God gets involved in. And that is restoring broken hearts, mending broken people. If we can take our eyes off of our situation for just a flat second and see somebody else in need, how many know all of a sudden you have a different perspective? Instead of always being needy, now you're over there trying to help somebody else. And all of a sudden your problems... Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Because there's an old song of the church. There's an old song of the church that we used to sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what happens? The things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you slip your hands in the air? Come on, we're going to receive the joy of the Lord this morning. If you have a problem you want us to pray about, come and receive. Receive the joy of the Lord. If you have a problem, if you want to praise him, come on up here and praise him and receive the joy of the Lord of the joy. If you want the joy of the Lord, you must receive the Lord of the joy. God bless.